Then let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this hour that we could assemble together again in this afternoon, O Lord, to read from thy holy word and to receive from thee the blessings that can come when we unite our hearts, when we submit ourselves and sit at thy feet to learn of thee. Lord, speak to each of our hearts. May we feel thy presence this afternoon. May thy spirit move within each one of us, directing us into the truths that make us whole, that make us free, that unite us with thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, and desire to turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter number 6. I'd like to begin with verse number 14 and read through verse 1 of chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14 through verse 1 of chapter 7. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. May, in this portion of scripture that we read, dear ones, there's a call to holiness, perfecting holiness. It tells us in the fear of God. And when we think of holiness, I think we too easily dismiss the thought of being holy as something that is unattainable. And yet, the New Testament scripture clearly points us to a state of holiness that we are to obtain, live in. Zacharias, in his prophecy, he said about the oath which was sworn to Abraham, he says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Multiple scriptures point us to a state of holiness. And when we think of God as being holy, it just makes our minds say, well, we can't be holy. And yet the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so what is our pursuit? What is our life like? And how do we obtain holiness? Is it going to be something that I do that makes me holy? Because God is holy, and everything that he does is righteous altogether. And the righteousness that flows from God comes from who he is. He is holy. He can't do anything wrong because he is holy. Everything he does is right. And we are called to holiness and righteousness. Zechariah said, we would serve him He has saved us from our enemies. We're not talking our Egyptians or Babylonians. We're talking our enemy is Satan and his angels who are warring against our souls. And so as we are being called to holiness, how do you and I obtain it? Because holiness, as it tells us here, is it tells us here that what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Okay, so then it goes on and says, you are the temple of the living God. So if you and I are a temple, that means we are a dwelling place. We are a tent, as it was back in the Old Testament times. We were a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit of God. So really, to be holy is not your flesh and my flesh, because we are simply dwelling. That is not who you and I are. Our flesh is not who we are. Who we are is our soul. And the soul has to have a place to dwell in. And the soul, we have the flesh here. But everything that you and I do is an expression of, that is being expressed through the flesh, of who we really are. And so if our character is perfect, okay, we live in a fallen world, we live in the flesh, and we are to bring the flesh under subjection so that it would, from our flesh would come forth the praises that come from the character of who we really are in our soul. And so it tells us here, it gives us promises. I think there's seven that I counted. He says, as God hath said, and he gives us, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, they will be my people. I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters. These are all promises that he is giving us. How? What do we need to do? Well, we need to separate ourselves from those things which are going to drag us down and take us away from him, his image, and who he is. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so this is not an option for us. It's not an option for you and me. Apostle Paul is not speaking an opinion here. He's saying, do this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he says, what fellowship hath righteousness? So righteousness, that we are to serve God in holiness and righteousness, was what Zechariah said. This is why Jesus came. To save us, so that we can serve him in holiness and righteousness. So now, what does righteousness have anything to do with unrighteousness? It has nothing. And so he gives an absolute contrast between one and the other. And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, we know there's no similarity. There's nothing there. And he doesn't stop there. What concord hath Christ with the devil? Nothing. There's nothing. He said, and the devil has nothing in me. There's nothing in him. There's nothing that they share. Or one who believeth and one who does not believe. What do you have in common? Nothing. And what agreement hath the temple of God? The temple of God. And he says, you are the temple of God. Now, what do you have to do with an idol? Nothing. So he's calling us for a he's calling us to make a clean, clear separation. We have nothing to do with those things. Nothing. Paul in the 1 Corinthians 6, he says, what? What? Like he's asking? Know you not? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are all God's. That's all his. And he's almost asking incredulously, like, what? Don't you know? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So he says, I will dwell in you. In what? In the temple. Just like our soul dwells in this flesh. This is not who you and I are. But so this flesh must show exactly who I am. And so when I act in the way that I act, I am actually just showing you who I am in my soul. And is there any agreement with idols, with darkness, with unrighteousness, with unbelief? Is there anything that you and I are living, doing, acting out through the flesh, which is just a temporary housing? That's all it is. That must be brought under subjection. And you and I can't do that. It's God's work. And that has to take place. When we think of God doing his work, he does it when he convicts you and he convicts me. So none of us can say, I've never been convicted. If you've never been convicted, that means you've never heard of God. That means you do not believe in God and you're not going to even be here. So conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. He does that. He does that through means you could be reading something that is not even the scripture, and God will reveal himself in some manner. He will show you something beautiful to make you think about him. Anything that makes you take your thought to God is a conviction from God. Now, what are you and I going to do with that conviction? It's up to us now to react to what God is moving in our hearts. So when we come to church this morning, we were convicted. Now, what are we going to do with that conviction? Because I thought about a man that was read about, and he went throughout the region and he preached and he taught and showed what great things God had done in his life. Is that a picture of you and me? That's what he did. He went about. That's what his goal was. And so when we observe our own lives, what is our life? We can't even do that amongst ourselves sometimes. We're embarrassed, even in front of one another, to be separate, come out from among them. We can't even do that here amongst ourselves. How are we going to do it in the world? We might be ashamed here to do what is right in the sight of God. Because, well, maybe my friend doesn't really see it that way. They're a little more liberal, or, you know, things like that take place. What does that have? What is that's unbelief. Because when there's a conviction, so when we think, okay, does that mean I have faith? If I'm convicted, right, that means there's a belief there. Because God convicts me, he convicts you. So that means there's a belief, there's a faith. But that faith is absolutely dead unless that conviction is acted upon. And the only way we can act upon that conviction is we sing a hymn. It's not coming to me right now, but it's about renouncing sin. There must be a renouncing of sin. Renouncing sin to keep the faith, or it's recognizable hymn, I'm sure, to all of us. But we must act upon that conviction. In order for it to become a faith that saves you and that saves me, not just the belief, because conviction is, because when I'm convicted, I know something I need to do. Now, I'm going to react to that. I'm going to react with faith, or I'm going to react with disbelief, meaning I don't believe it to the point that I need to renounce sin and renounce this darkness, this unrighteousness, this unbelief, the idols, the devils. That conviction doesn't convict me enough. I don't believe it enough to put away these things from my flesh. And so the Spirit does His work when He convicts. And the brother on Wednesday just led us in prayer of His Spirit working and moving in us. And he convicts us, and he reveals Himself to us, and we know, okay, I need to give this up. I need to change. I need to. The conviction is there. I need to, and I leave here and I forget that on purpose, because I don't want to act upon that. I don't want to renounce the sin. To surrender. That's the reaction of faith to a conviction that God gives you and me. We have to renounce the sin, and we have to surrender the will. That's faith. And from that, that's what creates in you and me a new man. Not this flesh. This flesh is what it is. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul says. He's speaking about the flesh. You can't take away a desire from a flesh. It's always going to be there. You can abstain, and you can overcome those things. It's the work of the conviction of the Spirit of God. And then he says, and I will dwell in you. When I dwell in you, don't hide. That's why I know I say oftentimes, and sometimes it's even taken perhaps not well, when because the Scripture teaches us to surrender it to God. The brother this morning spoke much about the surrendering of ourselves to alcohol, drugs, but it's to anything that is not in agreement with God. When we surrender ourselves to those things, we are ruled by those things. Those things work in us. We react, we are under the influence of that. We are not our own anymore. We're operating under that influence. Well, when he says, I will dwell in you, you will be my people, you will be my sons and daughters, I will be a father to you. I will be a father to you. He is going to impart himself, his nature, upon you and me. He's not going to be just a father. He's going to be a father in the true sense, where he gives you of his nature and he dwells in you. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. And it's a renouncing of sin. It's a reacting to the conviction that sin has separated me from God in his holiness and his righteousness. And he's calling me to this separation that's very clear. There's no room for it. And that's where faith steps in. And we live a life of faith. And we have victory. And we are holy as God is holy. And yes, we are in the flesh, and the flesh will make its inroads and try to always resurrect. We know that. We've all experienced it. There's no one here that has been born again that has not felt the pull of the flesh. But God gives us victory over that because it's his conviction and my renouncing it. No, I will not. And we give it to Christ. That's what it means to give it to Christ. We give it to him. So I give that to him. And then I realize he doesn't want me doing that. What agreement hath the temple of God, which you and I are? We are the temple. What agreement do you have with an idol? None. So he says, so be separate. Come out from among them, he says. In Ephesians 5:14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In this light that Christ will give you and me, there's no darkness. There's no agreement with darkness. His light, and we are the children of the light, his light will remove all those hidden works. So that means now, if I am the temple of the living God, I cannot have somewhere hidden in the corner of my heart, somewhere in the deep recesses of my heart, to hold on to something that I don't want to give up. I'm a Christian, but somewhere in my heart, I'm hiding and retaining and keeping and holding on. What agreement does the temple of God have with an idol? None. Light and darkness? None. It's not there. So who's not there then? Who's not there? What agreement does he have? God, I will dwell in you, he says. When? You are the temple, he says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's not about you receiving. Have you received Christ? Will he receive you is the question. Will he receive me? I know we say, have you received Christ? We say that. And that has its place. But here it tells us, and I will receive you, meaning when you have separated yourself. So is God calling you and me to holiness? He says, having therefore these what promises? The promise that he gives. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They will be my people. I will be a father. You're going to be my sons and daughters. That's the promise. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, he says, this is the promise. So you have this promise. So now that you have, you see, you've been reminded of this promise. Now, what are you going to do? He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How? In the fear of God. If you don't fear him, you have no wisdom. And your conviction won't bring you to a surrender or to renouncing of sin. And you will be without faith, and you will be without God. And you will be calling yourself a Christian. God can convict any heart, anywhere, at any time. He created every man. He is with, his spirit is with every man. And he know, it tells us that he's with, when a sparrow falls. You ever see a dead sparrow? God was there when that sparrow died. He knows. He knows that sparrow. He hears the cry of the ravens in the mountains. He knows the hungry little birds. He knows it all. He said, who feeds them? Do you? No. I do, he says. I know everything. So he knows you and me thoroughly, entirely. What are you going to hide from him? So we're called to a life of separation. God can call anybody at any time, anywhere. And he does. And he does. But we can say that just being in the presence of hearing about God, there's a you can say, well, I'm not convicted. It's just because you don't want to act upon a conviction. But the conviction is there. Because you heard about God. God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. He's calling you who are separated from him to come to him. He's calling you and me, brothers and sisters. He's calling us to repent. And because we have this promise, because we are the temple of God, he's calling us to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Repent and come back to me, he says. He's calling it. It's now up to you and me what we will do. And we will react to that conviction. We will. Everyone does. Is it to his honor and to his glory? You know, and it's true. We say we come to worship God. We come to worship God to, and we sing hymns to him. And we pray to him. And that is a form of worship. But the worship that God wants is in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And if your soul and my soul is being housed as newborn, born again, in the likeness of Christ, our soul worships him because of who we are transformed to and what we have become. And from that flows everything that we live and do and act in the flesh. God calls, convicts. It's up to you and me always. I can't judge any Christian. I can't judge any, whether they're Catholic or Mormon. I can't judge them. I can tell them. The scripture says, the Bible says, this is what I believe. And your faith does not save you. The Bible says that the Bible you're reading is not going to take you to salvation. Because the Bible says that. We can say that. I can't judge somebody and tell them, you're going to hell, because God can convict a Catholic and a Mormon and an infidel and someone who has never heard of God. I don't know those things. I don't know the depths of God and his mercy and what he can do and how he does it. But I know his judgments are pure and righteous altogether, and everything he will judge will be perfect. And you and I can only say amen to it. And so what he does in the hearts of others, he can do. And he does. All the time. All the time. I've talked to many people over the decades who express a faith, a conviction, I should say, but do not follow through, do not follow through with a renunciation of sin, who do not follow through with a surrender of the will. And they say, I'm a Christian. I can't tell him you're saved. I can't tell myself I'm saved if I know that I'm harboring sin in my life. Where am I going to get that comfort from? Because I won't find it from the Lord Jesus. He won't tell me that. Because his conviction is calling me to something far greater. A separation. Be ye separate. It's the one thing that the flesh, if you give in to the flesh does not want that. The flesh does not want to be separate. And the problem is, we do so many times, is we say we're separate. And we act like we're separate. And yet, we find ourselves being very, very poor, poor examples of a new birth in Christ. That man that we read of this morning, I didn't see a bad example in him. He was filled with the devil, and he was cleansed, and he was going to tell everybody what great things God had done for him. There was no darkness in him. He went about. What is our life like when you and I go and we're mingling with others? Mingling meaning we're out there. Do we just agree with everything just because it's easier? Are we afraid to be different? And a lot of times we are different and we show ourselves different. And yet we show ourselves to just be mocked at. Just be mocked at. What is a brother dressed respectably, modestly? A sister dressed modestly, head covering on? What do they got to do with walking around with a big old mug of beer, clicking glasses together? What? Am I going to look at you and someone that is going to be convicted like, you know, this is a life in Christ? You know they're representatives of someone that is not of the world, but they're living like me. Okay, I can do the same thing. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, of everything that we do. What is the light that we show? What is it? We are reflections of Jesus Christ. Our life has to show him. What does light have to do with darkness? What does unbelief have to do with belief? What do these things have to do one with another? They don't. And he's saying, so come out from among them, be separate, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a call to holiness. Jesus is calling us to that. Don't say, oh, we're in the flesh, we can never attain that. We can just strive for it, but who cares if I have sin in my heart and I don't want to give it up. I want to live under those influences, and that's just how it's going to have to be, and God's going to have to forgive me because I know he loves me. He's a God of mercy. That's not from the Bible that we have in front of us. And there could be versions that are coming out that are going to portray that. I don't know. That's why we don't stray from the King James Version. It's tried and it's true. It stood the test of time. It's God's holy word. What more do you want? Oh, I want to understand it a little bit better. What are you going to understand better? You don't understand what we just read right now? Light and darkness? You don't understand? You don't understand faith and unbelief? You don't understand a temple of God have to do with idols? We don't understand those things? Sure we do. We got something we want to hold on to. And we're going to try to find an excuse and a place that I can say, see? What version are we going to read next? Because there's going to be versions, and there are versions. I think I said it here. There's gay Bibles out there that will give you a means to say you can support those things. And those are things yet that the church, our church, as yet, haven't embraced. And I said, yeah, because it's scary. What we allow and how we allow. And when you allow one thing, you've allowed sin. Sin is now rampant and living in the church. And when it's in my heart, it's in the church. That's how it is. And so do you and I make a stand to be separate, saith the Lord. That's who said it. The Lord said it. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't touch it. Get your mind out of it, and I will receive you. I can't receive you when you touch any unclean thing. I can't receive you when you're living under the influence of the devil. I can't receive you. I am not going to dwell in that temple that you say is the temple of God and it's the temple of idols because you're worshiping something else than me. And if it's not him, it's an idol, no matter what it is. But yet we get deceived. We get deceived. Why? Because these promises sound wonderful. Who doesn't want these promises that we just read here? We all want them. Again, he says, Paul, I beseech you, brethren. He's begging. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How? Holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Be ye separate. Do you not understand? Do we not understand that? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your... What does that mean, the renewing? Well, he says, and I will give you light. We read, was that in Ephesians? He says, I will give you light. Well, in that light, what are these unclean things that I'm not to touch? What are those things? Well, if you're in the light, he will show you. He will show you. I will give you light. And you're going to see very clearly. By the transformation, by the renewing of your mind, you're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The conviction must follow with a complete renouncing of sin, a surrendering of our will, and then faith can flourish. The faith that the Bible speaks of Abraham and those of old who walked, whose house or this place was not their home. They were just traveling through. Dear ones, have we become so attached to this world that it's definitely my home? I love it here. Because, you know, that man we read of this morning, it kind of had an impact on me when a brother mentioned about the focus of what he did. Maybe I never focused on that part before, but he went about that. That's what he did. And even depicted the 120-mile range of where he would be in, walking and doing and spreading. You know, what are we doing in our 120-mile range or 2-mile range or whatever we are in? What are we? Are we afraid to be separate? So it's my prayer, dear ones, that having read the pure Word of God, the only Word that gives us life and that eternal, that each of us, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God working in all of our hearts, I know, because when you mention God, you think of God, and everyone here who heard the Word of God today has been convicted. Now, what are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? That's the only question. And what hangs on that, what is on the balances, when we will be weighed, is what did we do? Have we become a temple of the living God? I will dwell in you. You will be my sons and daughters. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Truly, the word has directed our thoughts and attention to the one to whom we are responsible to our Lord. It is to his evaluation and his judgment that we all must stand before, and that is the one that truly matters. As the word has come to us today, the word has been preached many times. In Jesus' day, it came to those who were truly, those who recognized that they were outside, they were outcasts, they had no fellowship, and the word touched them. Many, and they were soft and able to hear and able to repent. There were those that were actually called the separate ones. And for them, it was very difficult because the ways in which they strayed from God were hidden from men's eyes, and they appeared unto men as good and upright. And that status quo is difficult for a man to let go of. But regardless of where our hearts may be and what challenges are before us, the word has been given to us. And we have this precious promise in the beginning of the Gospel of John. speaking of when Christ came into the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Speaking of both the receiving of the word and then also God receiving us as his sons. Even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's work is what makes this transformation possible. And that puts us in a place of hope, puts us in a place of trust and dependence upon the Lord. And he can do all things. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts, and that we would, myself first and for all of us, recognize our accountability before the Lord, and that he desires action and not just good intentions, but to follow through with what we've heard this afternoon and through this day. Amen.